name the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. My beloved, today we have celebration of St. Matthew, the Gospel writer. And it was wonderful, wonderful life if you had read him. And I hope you did. But in the Gospel we hear that the Lord is passing by him and pays attention to him and calls him just like that. He says, come and follow me. Without ever being introduced to him, as if, of course, he knew everything. He knew the heart of the man. And the man drops everything. He was a tax collector and very despised by most of the people, because most of the tax collectors at that time, they would take extra one from their own pocket. And so the people didn't like him. They all considered him being great sinners. But St. Matthew just gets up and just follows him and leaves everything behind. And he was a well-off man. And then he goes home and asks the Lord to come to be at his home to have a dinner for him. And the Lord agreed. And he calls all his friends, all the tax collectors and all the people that were considered by the Pharisees and the learned people as being evil and great sinners. And he calls them all together, and some Pharisees and the learned ones came in also. And he made a big feast. The Lord agreed to be with him, and he stayed with them. Then the Pharisees said to his disciples, what is it that your teacher is willing to stay or be with the sinners and the tax collectors and to have dinner with them and so on? And the Lord heard what they were saying, of course, and he says, well, a doctor doesn't come to not sick people, but he comes to sick people to heal them. And so the Lord, he came to save sinners, not the righteous ones. And of course, the Pharisees, they all thought that they were fulfilling all the laws and they were righteous, and they had their nose up with a pride. Of course, well, the Lord came to save sinners, of whom the chief of them is I. And so you should say that to yourself. St. Peter said that. St. John put it in our prayer before communion. And we should really believe that. So he came to save us. Is that something? The Lord came from heaven. He, the creator of all the universe, he had came down. He was born of a virgin, the Mary. He was born to become a regular man. And he lived, he went through the babyhood and the childhood, and he lived in this earth. And he went, he saw everybody's heart, and he suffered greatly when he sees our heart being impure and not having the love for him. And he suffered so much that before the cross, before the crucifixion, how they tortured him, and finally he was crucified. He did all that for you and for me, so that we know to love him, because he deserves our love. Nobody gave their life for us, or is willing even to give their life for us like he did. And he did all that because he wants our salvation. And Saint, and the gospel writer Matthew, he had written the gospel, the first gospel, at the request of the other disciples. And of course, you know, the gospel has been translated in all kinds of languages, and it's spread all over the world. And they continue to preach the Lord and to try to bring the people to acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and is the chosen one that the Lord has chosen to pay off our debts for our sins. And he went through all the suffering. And my beloved Saint Matthew, of course, he went through all kinds of suffering too. He followed the example of his master and our Lord Jesus Christ. And he was sent to all kinds of countries, and he went through many, many countries preaching the word of God. And finally he came to a country which was the colored people in their country, and he converted some of them, and they had, according to the lives of the saint, they had, some of them had very nasty looking faces like animals, and of course being dark, and they had also character, very gruff and very rough, and some of them, as you know, were even fighting amongst each other, and even doing even eating the flesh of other people. And he came and he preached to them, and he converted a bunch of them, and they were so elated, and he made a church for them, and made one of them to be a bishop and to take care of. And then he went away, and on the mountain the Lord had met him, and the Lord had given him a big staff, and he says, put that staff in by the church that you have built right now, and a big tree is going to grow out of it immediately, and a spring is going to come from the root of it, and the tree is going to give a fruit such as nobody ever had tasted, and whoever is going to taste the fruit is going to be converted in their heart, going to be healed from all the evil they have, and anybody that you baptize in the water is going to be also cured, of course. And he did that. He went back to the church which he had built, and put the staff in, and before the eyes of everybody, the tree, from the staff, a tree came up, a big giant tree with a big, big fruits on them, which it tasted, nobody ever tasted. It's such, so sweet and so good tasting. And whoever would taste that would get a healing. And my beloved, so many people then got converted, seeing that great miracle. And he baptized them in that water, in the water coming from that spring out of the tree trunk. And when he had baptized those who wanted to become true Christians, they came out from the baptism different people. They all of a sudden, their faces changed, and all of a sudden they become meek and pious looking, and full of joy, and not only that, but even their skin turned white, and it was so amazing, and so many people had gotten converted. And the prince had a daughter and his wife, they were possessed, and of course he healed them, and he was very grateful for that. But then when he saw that he converted most of the people and they left the pagantry, he gotten very upset with it, and he decided that he is going to force them to drop the idea of following after Christ. And he started to torture. What kind of tortures he went through, and the fires and all kinds of things, and nothing would touch him. And finally the end of it was that he had been put in a great bonfire, and but at that time the Lord figured it's time for him to go to the kingdom of heaven, and he called him to himself, and he left his soul, and the body was staying there, but the body actually did not get burned. Nothing happened to the body. The body was all absolutely not touched by the fire. And when the prince saw that, he was amazed, and then he started to believe. And he said, I believe. And then he said, let me take this body, put it in a golden coffin, bring it to my castle. And after he had done that, then he changed his mind. He said, well, let's do another test. Let me put him into the sea. And to see if he can survive. And so they put the casket into a meadow, another meadow, and sealed it all up and dropped it in deep into the sea. And the next day, the bishop is visited by Saint Apostle Matthew, and he says, go to such a place on the east side of the castle of the prince, and there you will find my relics, and take them. They will be on the shore, and you take them and to your church. And he did that. He went with all the clergy, and the prince heard about it. And when he saw that not even the water could touch the saint, that he really then believed. And he's got baptized. He asked the bishop to baptize him. He baptized him, and he shortly gave up his ruling. He gave it to somebody else to rule, and he himself then became a priest. He was made a priest a few years later. But then, I think 6 years after that, then the Saint Apostle, the Gospel writer Matthew, appeared to him and said to him that you should be a bishop, and that they would make him a bishop. And they made him a bishop. In the meantime, by the way, his name was given when he was baptized, and the old name was cast away. And the Saint Matthew said to name him his own name, Matthew, and he's become Matthew, and he is also then followed his footsteps of the great gospel writer, and he was converting many, many people to the Christianity. My beloved, we have to learn to love God so much more than we do. We have to learn to love Him and to try to really to please Him and to stay away from the most terrible poison, which is sins. We should stay away because we should know that every sin our Lord has suffered, and He suffered so much because He loved us so much, and He knew that the sin is a poison that will take us into hell instead of into the heaven. And so we have to be free from that. And he gave us such a beautiful way to repent. As you know, He has brought in the robber that said himself that we deserve to be crucified for the terrible crimes that we have done. But the Lord has not done one sin, and He asked him to bring him into a kingdom of heaven. And because they believed, the Lord brought them right in. And this is what He is asking us. He asks us to truly to believe that He is our God, God that loves us and that died for us and wants us in the kingdom of heaven. Oh, He wants us to feel terrible when we do a sin, and to repent, and to really to try to remember His crucifixion, how He died for us, how He suffered for us, and how every saint, actually, that if you look at all the saints, you find that one way or another they all suffered, whether they were martyrs or whether they were the holy fathers that going through great feasts of fasting and all kinds of deprivation, and but they all suffered. They all suffered for Christ's sake because they loved Him so much, and we have to learn to do that. And you and me, we have to accept whatever cross the Lord gives us, to accept it without grumbling, but glorifying and thanking God for giving us the cross. For no, we know that the only reason He gives this punishment or a cross, whether it may be sickness or troubles or whatever it may be, it is only to help us to grow spiritually, so that we will accept the narrow, thorny road which leads to the kingdom of heaven. And this is where we want to go. We want to go and see our Maker, our Lord Jesus Christ, His Mother, the Theotokos, and the Mother of God, and also, of course, Saint Matthew, and all the saints that are there. They're willing to embrace it, for they all are praying for us. So never think that you are alone, that nobody loves you, nobody cares for you. You're wrong. The whole heavenly dwellers, they all love us. And starting from our guardian angel and all the other angels, they all love us because they want our salvation, just like the Lord. He doesn't want anybody to be damned. He wants everybody to be saved. Amen. God bless you.